not accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Well, greetings. The automatically deleted husband, automatically deleted, and automatically ignored. Anyway, it does concern me because, you know, it has, when it's happened before, it's happened for a week or so at a time, which, you know, gives me the implication that the phone is rarely used for a variety of reasons. You know, one of the thoughts I had previously is that it's my wife's business phone, and maybe she doesn't do much business anymore, if at all, because I have wondered the status of E-System Sounds, if it, you know, no idea. It's just, you know, my wife and family, but, you know, what does it matter? But I did the normal thing. I took my postcard and walked out to the mailbox this morning and put the postcard into the mailbox. And when I came back down the driveway, I came back with two brand new trash cans. and it was interesting because apparently what's happened is that, you know, the city picks up the trash as part of your utilities. And so normally for me, it's every Thursday they come by and, you know, with a big truck and they sling, you know, your stuff. So it's a lot of physical labor. Well, the trash cans they dropped off are the ones that are, you know, specific size. So they have the automatic machine to pick them up. And so I wondered about, there goes some jobs, because obviously it only takes one person, just one driver. That's all you need. And so all the people, you had a driver and people that would pick up. Those people that would pick up, typically they usually see two. So three people have been replaced with one. And I find it fascinating because, you know, part of the issue is, well, we didn't have that beforehand. And so it was, in essence, a technology improvement to bring the trash service in. But now that that's refined, they need less people to do the same thing. And, you know, because what happens to those people? It's an interesting consideration. And, you know, there were two trash cans there, one for my neighbor and one for me, because obviously we have a shared driveway and I don't produce any trash. So I talk with the neighbor and they have them both because they produce a lot of trash and I don't. I use these 1 gallon water bottles and I cut the top off every week and I use that as a trash can and I take the whole thing. Because often it takes 2 weeks to fill up that 1 gallon thing because I don't produce trash. And of course, my neighbors, they eat out, you know, go to fast food and bring stuff in. So they produce a lot of stuff. I don't produce anything. You know, and what I do, the most of the trash I produce goes into my compost pit, you know, because obviously, you know, eggshells and stuff like, you know, anyway, but also I went out, when I went out to drop my postcard off, it was my last postcard. I don't have any more postcards. They're gone. And I got an email shortly thereafterwards. Tomorrow I pick up batch number 4. I sent the last one to Jim Cross, telling him he gets the last one. And, you know, the whole point of this is try to indicate, I'm not giving up. I'm simply not giving up. And again, as before, the printer normally charges $60, $80 for that stack. He's charging me $20. It's his endorsement of what I'm doing, which I find fascinating. I did add a new link to Endure because, again, it's the abide under aspect, and I was going to do some. I haven't got around to that. But so cards arrive tomorrow. They start going out. I need to get that done by this week anyway. But one of the things I thought I would, because, again, I wonder about my kids and the generation they're growing up in. When I was young, an adult. But there was a gentleman, Jim Jones, who was a, dare I say, a pastor in California, in San Francisco area, and developed quite a reputation at the time, heavily involved with politics as well as religion, built a what we would now call a cult. And they got this idea of moving to Guyana and set up this commune area, and issues arrived. And again, as I mentioned, this is where we get the expression drinking the Kool-Aid, because what they did is they gave to everybody some Kool-Aid laced with some poison it was, I forget what it was, in order for everybody to commit suicide, either commit suicide or, and I've heard, because I've heard the audio of that last day, last hours, it was, apparently the majority at least knew they were doing it. They did it to their kids, which was not really suicide, that was murder. And then, of course, but anyway, so that whole group died. I actually think there was a couple that escaped. But that obviously was a big issue back then. 70s or 80s. 70s, I think. Anyway, but now in 2023, we have it repeating. Slightly different version, but it's in Kenya. And more information continues to come out as they're exhuming the bodies. You know, and again, as I pointed out, they're finding people where body parts are missing. So internal organs. So obviously they were used for, organ harvesting. And apparently some indication of, outright murder, because apparently I think I heard something like strangled. So there's a whole lot of issues coming out about that. But what I found fascinating is, and I'll put the link there, because I'll put it on kozlowski.org, a report from Al Jazeera. And again, Al Jazeera is the Qatari government funded, and it is a monarchy, and there is a particular brand of Islam there and so forth. So a lot of, because there's a strong presence of Christianity in Africa, as well as a strong presence of Islam, and a lot of the there's a large number of people of the Islamic community that are involved with like Boko Haram, which is basically an affiliate of ISIS. It's the same mentality and apparently some overlap. They've been doing foul things to a lot of people for a long time. And one of the big targets has been the Christian community. You have that aspect. And what I saw in the report from Al Jazeera was a tone, maybe that's the best way to, a tone of using inflammatory words that I would think lead with a way that you would disfavor the Christian community in general. Because, he was described, the gentleman who led this flock, as a evangelical pastor. And what you've done is you've tied that term, evangelical pastor, to the guy who killed a whole bunch of people. The report, I think, said now they've eclipsed 200. You're equating evangelical pastor to a mass murderer. Now, in the minds of those who are not in, it ties them together kind of emotionally. And it's kind of like it puts an aura around the evangelicals in general, because there is the issue that I obviously contend about the institutional church, but there's also this implication of now the church is bad. I think this is which I'm not, I will claim it's a fraud. But there's a full, the institutional church is a full of a lot of people who are part of the elect, and a lot of people aren't. I mean, that's directly stated in the Bible. But the issue is there's no condemnation of the people within the institutional church. It's the institution itself is a problem, my contention. But what I see happening is an attack on the institution, not for the theology question, but for the aura, because what that does is puts an attack on the Christian community itself, irrespective of the institution. I do think there's an underlying hint of this, and it seems to be building in a lot of areas. And when you have an event like this cult in Kenya, and the large number of dead bodies, I got to find out how many, be reminded how many people died in Jonestown, as it was called, how many people died there, because it was a lot of large number. But anyway, so I do think there's a comparison here. Again, not identical, but a lot of similarities, and it puts the weight on, you know, if somebody's promoting Christ, are you like them? You know, again, I will contend that the institution is a fraud, but I will also contend that the whole lot of people who go into ministry and so forth, because they understand it as being in obedience to Christ, I think they're wrong, because I used to be there, and I will claim I was wrong. But again, when I say the institution, I'm condemning the institution, not the people involved. Because, you know, again, it's a repeated refrain that I say, if someone decides, yes, indeed, I make the case and I'm going to abandon the institution, I say abandon the institution, but don't abandon the people. Fundamentally, don't abandon the people. Because the people around in your institution are human beings created in the image of God. They're your brothers and sisters. Don't abandon them. But anyway, because that kind of relates, because obviously there's a lot of, you know, a while back there was the fiasco about Bud Light and this, was it Mulvaney as the name of the man who's claiming to be a woman now, you know, and he's still a man. But so that caused a lot of grief. Well, and apparently there's been a huge market loss for Anheuser-Busch, the parent company, and their stock value has gone down. But, you know, that's whatever. But Target says, no, we don't want them to take all the limelight. We're going to be worse. And apparently they are, you know, because I've seen a lot of discussion of late about how Target is specifically putting into their stores Target branded merchandise for kids, especially, that promote, you know, Pride, preparing for Pride Month. It's June Pride Month, whatever it is, June, July, I don't know. You know, so it's the endorsement of the homosexual, the transsexual, and things of that nature. You know, the LGBTQ plus SIN, that group. They're getting some flack, a whole lot of flack. And people are talking about boycotts and things of that nature. You see various people going into the stores to produce videos to say, look, it's here. I saw a little blurb saying where some of the stores they're trying to take it and push, instead of being upfront big, they're going to keep it, but kind of make it a secondary item, put it in kind of the back of the store instead of up front, because of the flack that they're getting. And apparently the company North Face, which is a clothing manufacturer, has a similar issue, and I forget who their parent is, because they're promoting. And the CEO of Target came out and said, oh yes, what we're doing is a good thing. And apparently there's some connection to it's the clothing company that Target is getting their branded clothing from. I think they're out of the UK or something of that nature. And the CEO of that company is outspoken Satanist, and you know, he sort of promotes homosexuality and Satanism. And he says, well, the Bible isn't real, and neither is Satan, but we're going to promote this stuff, you know, because it's fun. So this is what Target is promoting, especially targeting kids. And it's, you know, so that brought up a discussion today. And that is because I recall, you know, because I remember years ago, there was, what was the issue? 7-Eleven stores had their the pornography stuff in the stores, and there was a boycott against 7-Eleven because of that. Some I think they did, you know, where they would put like a sheet of plastic, you know, a plastic barrier, so you can grab the magazines, but you don't see the covers, you know, the dirty pictures. In order to kind of lighten it, but there was a boycott. Oh, I forget what organization did it, and apparently it cost them significantly. I don't remember all the details, but so you know that was used kind of as a model for others to follow, and I think people are doing the, you know, kind of the same thing now with, you know, because of the Bud Light incident and now with Target. But the question is, as a follower of Christ, should we? And I think one of the things we thought was clear is that to form an organization to do this, no, not at all. Or to use or take an organization that exists and make this one of their focuses. Because it, you may recall, I once, when I talked about in the 1990s, what was called the DNC form of abortion was given the name partial birth abortion. And both the pro-choice and the pro-lifes used that as marketing to their crowds for fundraising. Really, you know, not really to try to change the issue, but it was a news item, so you can go to your both crowds, and both crowds would then send money to build the organization. That this is common. And so the objective is build the organization, not necessarily fight the cause. And I would suggest, which you might find, and there may indeed, I don't know if any will get behind like the Target or the Bud Light thing. People will use that for, you know, fundraising or to strengthen the power of an organization or things of that nature. It becomes marketing, becomes the focus, becomes the organization, as opposed to what's obedience to Christ. And so organizing against this is forming an organization. It takes your focus off of being obedient to Christ, but the power of the organization. So I think we find there's a problem there. But then how about proclaiming? Do we simply proclaim? Do we organize to proclaim, or do we individually proclaim? You know, because again, I will say that, you know, for example, I do not shop at Food City. I do not shop at Food City simply because, you know, I have the picture of they put those signs up saying wear a mask to come in the store. And no, I'm sorry, I won't. Because what you're doing is asking me to do self-harm. So I stop using. And it wasn't, I'll stop while it's there. I've stopped. I haven't been in there in 2 years. Food City recently, well, a year ago, bought the local, a local independent store, Cook's, a grocery store that I would frequent. And since it's now part of Food City, even though they still have the Cook's name on it, I don't go to Cook's anymore. Which is unfortunate because right now I'm down to Publix. Publix is a large corporation, and I'm sure if I find something about it, it's kind of like, oh no. But the only reason I go to Publix is bananas. avocados, because I get both the organic there, and ginger. Ginger root. I buy it fresh. And cheese. But, you know, that's about it. You know, I don't buy other things there. You know, big store, I take the 7-mile round trip to get bananas, typically. I'm a little odd. Am I a little odd? I don't know. Oh, I also occasionally buy distilled vinegar, but, you know, I can get that other places, I think. But so, individually, I can do that. But to organize to say, let's not go to Food City, for example, I don't think it's a good idea. As I've expressed, you know, the... if you say, you know, vote pro-life kind of thing, well, why not practice what you preach and, you know, and vote with your dollars by don't using Amazon and Starbucks because they pay for their employees' abortions. And if you don't want to promote abortion, don't pay for somebody else's by going to a company that pays for them. So that seems like a logical thing. That's why I say if you have the We Vote Pro-Life bumper sticker on the back of your car while you're in the Starbucks drive-thru, you're a hypocrite. Anyway, but the other thing that was mentioned is what we need to do is be an example. If I say that we shouldn't go to we shouldn't go to Target because they're promoting, and I actually, you know, and of course it's easy for me because I haven't been in Target in 8 years or so, you know, just like I haven't been in Walmart in about the same amount of time. I don't go to these places, so it's nothing for me to give up because I've already given it up long ago for other reasons. So, you know, for me, it's easy. But, you know, on that, should I be an example rather than, you know, maybe I could proclaim this, I don't do this because in particular situations, rather than carrying a, you know, a big sign and advertised on the internet and whatnot. No, just simply, I don't do it within dialogue. But it brought up a verse. First Peter 5, I'll read the first three verses since it's one sentence in the ESV. Because, well, anyway. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I've dwelled a lot on verse 1 and 2 already, but the thing that was applicable at verse 3, because we have the idea of an example, that's where it would fit the dialogue. But it gets back to the idea of, if I want to organize and try to encourage people, I am trying to impose myself. I'm trying to take authority over someone else. If you're a part of our club, you're part of this organization, you don't do this, whatever this happens to be. But as I point out, where have I pointed this out before? Genesis 1. You know, we are delegated by God. God said, you are to be the overlord of the earth, plants, and animals, but not over another man. The overlord, the katakurion, overlord, literally. Not domineering over those in your charge, not being the katakurion. That's the word that's used right there. So not being the overlord to those in your charge. And in your charge, the LSV, neither exercising lordship over the heritages I think the issue here is because obviously I'm trying to refine this myself, because what I used to do, again, as a pro-life activist, did both ministry and the politics. In the politics, I was trying to put in the laws to outlaw abortion. And my stand now is, and I would contend, this is a refinement, and I believe closer to obedience to Christ. Make the proclamation, abortion is murder and don't outlaw it. Because abortion is murder. It's a taking of a human life. But if I outlaw it, the Lord already has, you shall not murder. But if I outlaw it, I need an organization, an institution, a state, an authority to impose that law. And that's a rejection of Christ. So I'm not going to ask for an overlord over others. I'm not going to do that myself. I am simply going to proclaim, if you are going to have an abortion, you are going to commit murder. But I'm not going to stop you. And you get the argument of, are you, about defending life and so forth. But again, it's the idea of, it is those inside, not those outside that we are to contend with. So if the world wants to commit abortion, let the world commit abortion. My call, the call to that Christ has to his elect, is to encourage his elect, don't sin. And not impose, but encourage. Because again, you know, we may fool ourselves, but God isn't fooled. Anyway, so I found that fascinating. So I do wonder about how, you know, because of the power plays, how the world will look at, well, here's the example in Kenya of the evangelical pastor, and, well, it's those Christians. They're a little bit, you know, they're that way. Or if the Christians domestically, especially, are going to be anti-target, which, in one sense I agree, one sense I don't, those are those Christians, again, doing those weird things. And what you're doing is putting a flavor, a tenor into the community. So the majority, you know, the non-Christian, because, you know, the majority are not domestically, you know, even, you know, anyway. When you, the state puts more pressure on people who are trying to follow Christ, and say, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, or you must do this, or you must do that, which would be in disobedience to Christ. It comes back to the Kaiser Kurios thing that, you know, I'll probably leave that link too, because you are going to be required to say, Caesar's Lord, or, you know, the federal government is Lord. And as a follower of Christ, you say, no, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not the state. So I think the pressure is going to build, as I've, you know, mentioned about how the social credit scores being because of your cell phone tracking you and your associations and so forth. At least initially, being a follower of Christ because of the technology is going to make a cost. But it's, you know, again, it's like the China model. If you're disfavored, you have a lower social credit score, things are a little bit harder for you. You can't do particular travel, train travel, plane travel, or things of that nature. A lot of government benefits are denied you, things of that nature. So it's kind of puts pressure on. And then, of course, obviously, again, the China example, if you've gone too far, for example, there was several places where a particular group within a apartment building had some issues about COVID or whatnot, so they literally welded the doors closed to the apartment complex so you couldn't get out. It's kind of like we're not going to participate. Well, you're not going to participate in society. And in one case, there was a fire in that apartment complex and a whole lot of people died. So because they couldn't get out. Because the doors were literally welded shut. So these kind of things we may see domestically in a different flavor. And of course, it comes to the question, are you prepared, refined? Have you been encouraged to follow Christ, even if the cost is inconvenience to your life? Are you willing to publicly and privately say, I follow Christ? No matter the cost. I want to encourage my kids to be able to say that. Because they probably will have to. It's a concern. Well, I'd show you one of my postcards. Well, I do have, you know, not just here, just, you know, a stack. You know, I got some of the old ones, but you know, there's some of the return ones that are here. And there's a whole bunch more in the wall. but I'll have a new stack tomorrow. Timing is amazing. And I'm not giving up. My lady, my wife. The mailbox may be full. But your husband continues to strive to reconcile the family and to reconcile with you. My lady, my wife. I love you and I want you back.